Welcome to the Exposé Podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Molly.
And we're just a couple of goofy gals here to tell you about topics and get down to the real nitty-gritty of it all.
We are here to help you navigate through the confusing ins and outs of hot topics and get down to the truth.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned and listen to our next topic.
Thanks for listening to the Exposé.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing.
Rachel, what did one DNA say to the other DNA?
Stop copying me?
Well, maybe, but that's not the answer I have.
I ruined it.
Do these jeans make me look fat? That's right, everyone. We're talking about DNA tests.
Okay.
Rachel just took a DNA test.
And it turns out I'm 100% that girl.
That girl.
PG. P. G. Just G.
Just G. But yes, so we are talking about DNA tests today. What's the good? What's the bad? Should you do it? Should you not do it?
What's the controversy or conspiracy?
The tea on the DNA.
Spill that tea. Make sure to follow us on our social media. You can find us on Facebook at The Exposé Pod, Twitter. Mm-hmm.
At Exposé Podcast.
And then on our Instagram, this is our podcast with underscores.
Yes. And we actually have some news tonight because we are concluding our giveaway. We have a winner that we generated with our random generator.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to announce that.
You must wait to hear
You
the
must
results.
Wait to hear if you win the awesome baseball tee with our logo and some pretty kick-ass stickers.
Yeah. I have one on my laptop.
I have one on mine as well. And I told everyone at work to go vandalize things with them so that I didn't get in trouble, but it gets out there. So.
Our word will spread like the corona.
Ooh,
that was in bad taste.
Too soon.
Sorry, wash your hands.
Okay. Like we said, Rachel took a DNA test, so she kind of has a good idea about her genetic makeup.
Yeah, and after like researching this, I 100% regret taking a DNA test.
Do you?
Yes. 100% regret it.
I have not taken a DNA test, and I guess I assume that I know quite a bit about my genealogy just because there's been a lot of people in my family history that have been interested in it. So yeah. There's kind of, I mean, people have done the work.
Like family trees.
Yeah, they've kind of looked into it. So mm-hmm. As far as I know, I'm like half British Isles and Irish. The other half is mostly like German. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little bit of like French, Luxembourg, and Switzerland. That
Ooh,
like little pocket
you're
of
a
Europe.
Really fun breed.
Sure.
I like that.
And I don't know about any like weird things. As far as I know, there's no like long lost Native American relative or like anything, you know, like that. I don't think there is, mm-hmm. but there could be because I know my dad's side of the family has been like in America since the 16 something.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a long time to possibly rack up some different types of genes.
I would say so.
But I think my mom's family is much more recent. Like, I think her grandma or her like great aunts had like an Irish accent because they came over from there.
Oh,
so that
cool.
would probably be like late 18 somethings.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's about all I know. I mean, I know some names and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool to know, but also after researching, I don't know if I want to put myself out there like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but we'll get into that.
Later.
In a little bit. First, yeah, just how did all this DNA testing come about? Where did it all begin?
Oh, man. So it actually kind of dates back pretty far, like the 1920s.
What? Yeah. That surprises me.
Yeah. So basically in the 20s, they were just using like the typical it's blood typing system.
Oh, okay.
And that's when they discovered like you're either like A positive, B positive, like whatever. Mm-hmm. That's how they determine your blood. And when they did that, they could connect you to people that you may be related to.
Okay.
But it was very inconsistent because there's so many people with A blood.
Yeah. How many blood types are there? Like 4?
We did it last week in our fad diet.
Yeah. I feel like there is
blood type diets.
Like A, A, B, and O.
Yeah.
And is there just a B?
Maybe.
Maybe.
There's a
and then there's like the positive and the negatives to those two.
Yeah.
I've never really understood blood typing. I have a friend that's a pharmacist and she tried to explain it to me one time and it must have just went over my head because I don't really get it. But yeah. So obviously with that, you could only be so accurate.
Right. And I mean, at that time, who's even like really checking their blood just for funsies? I don't think it was really a thing.
Yeah.
So then the 30s came around and they discovered proteins in the blood surface. So, or the blood cells surface.
Okay.
And that could help identify people a little more successfully, but it still cannot determine like your biological relationships to anyone.
Okay.
And they were doing that with serological testing. I know it's like a it's a bunch of boring words.
Serological.
And that was testing the proteins on the blood surface.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. In the 70s, there was stuff that happened in the middle, but to me it was just like, it's like a lot of the same thing.
Let's get to the DNA test.
Yes. Okay. So in the 70s, they discovered human lectocytes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this was like a start where you could start matching with biological relationships. And then in the 80s, a little bit more of the same thing. That was the first genetic test used for DNA.
Okay. Is it like law enforcement that's doing a lot of these tests?
I would say yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's kind of when maybe they started being able to use it on crime scenes, maybe?
That sounds accurate.
Okay.
And then just like recently, 10 years ago, they started using the next generation sequencing, which is what we know today as like the DNA kits.
Okay. So that's like when they sequence the human genome or whatever?
Yeah. Next generation sequencing or massively parallel sequencing.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Generates a DNA sequence that is a linear arrangement of letters that occur in the DNA sample.
Okay.
I have it in layman's terms.
Oh, yes, please.
It would be like taking a book and cutting out sections and then reassembling the book using a computer program that recognizes overlapping sentences.
Okay.
So cut up a book, make a computer do the work to put it back together.
Sounds like a plan.
So, I mean, that might lead to it not always being accurate.
That is definitely something that is a risk.
Yes.
Accuracy.
I would agree. Yep.
But yeah, it just seems to have gotten so huge lately. Like, I mean, it's being referenced in pop culture with like
DNA tests. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, just a lot of people have taken these tests.
Yeah.
Like how many would you say?
Like 26 million people.
That's a lot.
Those are tests purchased. That's not what's been sent back in.
Okay. So
I think there's a lot of like, it's kind of funny to me, like dads, like you get it for your dad for Father's Day or whatever.
And he just never does it.
And your dad's like, I'm not doing that. I don't want anyone to have my DNA sit in some warehouse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dads.
Okay.
Out there like
I could
that.
See that.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot on file. Like there's a lot of DNA information that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And 26 million, I mean, that's not quite like 1 in 10 Americans, because I think there's like 300 million Americans, but that's still a ton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ancestry and 23andMe are like the big daddies of them all.
Okay.
I guess you can get DNA kits for your dog or cat, maybe?
Yeah. I like Mabel is certain, like she has her papers as an Irish Terrier purebred through the, what is it?
American Kennel Association.
Yeah, American Kennel Association. Kennel Club.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've always wondered, I'm like, is it 100%? I mean, that's just what they're telling us. I don't think I'm curious enough to actually go purchase one.
Nah.
But I do know some of Will's friends, actually, they adopted a dog and they knew that it was half beagle, I believe, but they had no idea what the other half was. So they did that, and I don't think they've gotten the results in yet, but I mean, that's kind of exciting just to find out.
So how did they do it? Because I know for us, we just like spit into a tube.
Mm-hmm.
How do, is it the same
thing? I'm guessing they like swab.
Oh, that would make sense. You know, my dog had to get swabbed once, like when I lived in an apartment up north.
Why?
Because they're like, if you don't pick up after your dog, we're going to take the sample and we need to swab your dog's cheek. And so we have her DNA.
Are you serious? They're going to DNA match the dog poo?
Dead. Yeah. Yeah. And so that worried me so much that I was like, of course, I'm always going to pick up after my dog, because if you don't and they match all of that, go through the work.
Yeah.
That would take a long time to do.
I wonder if they actually would, or if that was like a scare tactic.
I bet. It was definitely a scare tactic. Because,
but it worked.
It worked. I mean, I was going to get, like, fined or whatever, like, $50 per poo or
That's
something.
That's crazy. Weird.
So I guess DNA is used as a scare tactic as well.
But, yeah, so we might be wondering kind of how do DNA tests work?
Tell me.
I will.
Okay.
So humans have about 3 billion base pairs. So that is those letters that you kind of might remember from biology class, the GATC.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. And they match up in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, I'm going to get this wrong, so I might not even say it. A and C and G and T match up.
Okay.
Here's an editing time fact check. It is A, T, and G, C. Just so we're not spreading false info out there. Bye.
Maybe that's wrong.
Well,
sorry,
I think
guys.
I saw something like that. Okay. I don't know.
But anyway, so the pairs. So basically you have over 3 billion like little pairs matching up. And that's like the rungs of the ladder that you see on the DNA helix spiral shape.
Yeah.
Out of those, 99.9% of everybody's is identical. It's just kind of like, that's what makes us human.
Yeah.
That's part of being human. And that's all of the material that it takes to make us.
Yeah. Wait, aren't we like pretty closely related to a banana? Didn't you say
banana?
That fun fact?
I don't know if I did, but I have heard that.
Yeah.
I believe with like chimpanzees, it's like 96.8% or something like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty close. I'm taking anthropology classes right now. And I know that we have, I want to say like 3% Neanderthal. And people of European descent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of weird.
I mean, I have that in my DNA report.
Do you have Neanderthal in
I
there?
I do have that's Neanderthal
in That's funny. Is that why you have that prominent brow ridge? No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Rachel does not have a prominent brow ridge. Anyway, sorry if I started that rumor.
What payback?
You're going to have to put a picture up.
Listen, Molly wears shoes that look like hooves in her leisure.
Also not true. They're not going to know what's true and what's not true.
Oh, we're just a couple of weirdos.
Rachel likes to start rumors about people, so I'm just giving it your taste
but
of her own medicine.
In a very fun, harmless way.
Uh-huh.
Like Molly, I don't even know what to say. I was going to say a former Rachel rumor being, I told a rumor about someone that really liked Nickelback and they went to all the Nickelback concerts, like 7.
That's a very damaging rumor to spread.
Listen, I like Nickelback.
Do you?
They're not so bad.
I would say that
I don't like listen to an entire album at a time, but
I went to band camp.
Nerd alert!
Uh-oh.
So, and I remember one time we had like a dance at the end of band camp. I was probably like 8th grade. I don't know.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
And I danced with a boy to whatever that song is, like the wings of an eagle, whatever that song is.
Okay. What is that song?
I don't know. Nickelback. Is it like Hero or something by Nickelback? I don't
and
know.
And a hero will save me.
Yeah. Anyways, getting back to DNA.
Oh, this is irrelevant. The dance did not go well?
Oh, well, I mean, it is like just a dance and then like you go on and I ended up giving myself whiplash at the end of the night because I participated in a headbanging contest.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, that's my band camp story. Hashtag nerd.
Moving on.
So yeah, basically, we all share 99.9% of our DNA. So it is the 0.1% that genetics testing companies are looking at. Mm-hmm. And they call those single nucleotide polymorphisms.
Beautiful.
SNP, they call them SNPs. So if you ever hear anybody talk about SNPs when you're watching a DNA TED talk, I don't know. That's what they're talking about.
Okay.
So basically, they take all these SNPs and they compare them to each other. So they're taking your DNA, your sample or whatever, cutting it up into little pieces, cutting these pieces out, putting them in a genotyping array, and then comparing them to reference populations. Most of the SNPs don't really affect anything, but some of them do affect like traits that might be a tendency to be lactose intolerant or how you have your risk for diabetes, something like that. So those are the types of things that they are comparing with a reference population. And then they use that to kind of find where you match the most. And that's where you get your results of what your percentages are.
Okay.
Usually they're pretty accurate, but there are some questions about accuracy that we'll get into, but that's kind of the gist of the DNA test in general, I guess. Okay. So I think we're going to take a short break. We're going to hear from sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk about Rachel's personal experience with DNA testing.
Hi, I'm Jerry Wicker, host of the Savvy Beach Bumps podcast, where every Wednesday we share simple strategies you can use to help you live a life of freedom like a beach bum without being broke. And also every Monday, my mermaid Beth has Monday with the Mermaid, a behind-the-scenes scoop into her personal weekly favorites. So be sure to click subscribe right now wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure you never miss an episode of the Savvy Beach Bumps podcast. As always, live free. Peace.
I can tell you guys the tea.
Yeah, let's find out the nitty-gritty on Rachel.
There's not much to it. So like I did 23andMe a couple winters ago. I wanted to figure out my ancestry more.
Did you get it as a gift?
Yeah, okay. I asked Jesse. Okay. And like I was like, I want it for Christmas or whatever.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if you had wanted it or
I did want it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think if someone had just gifted it to me, I'd be like, I don't know if I would really want it unless I was asking, you know? So yeah, I did ask for it.
Yeah. I feel like it'd be a weird gift unless you knew the person was interested in that.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's kind of expensive. I mean,
it is. It's like, I think the kit I got was an ancestry plus your health. And that was like $99. And that was like holiday special or whatever. Anyways. So yeah, I got my kit, spit in a tube, sent it in. It was a lot of spit too.
I was watching YouTube videos and they're like,
fill up a whole vial. And sent it in, and a couple weeks later, I get an email with my results. Like, let me back up. After I did my spit, you, like, log into 23andMe to, like, set up your account so they know where to email you to and whatever.
Yeah.
And then they sent me, like, these quizzes. Like, it was, like, quiz after quiz after quiz. And it's, like, asking me, like, questions like, are you prone to have dark hair versus red hair? Are you like sensitive to dairy?
So or they're asking you the questions that I feel
they should be telling me.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like what I was excited for was like, I don't know how to put it. One of these questions here is like earwax type. Likely to have wet earwax. Like, I know I can reach in my ear and I can feel that myself, you know?
Yeah. And are you really like having burning questions about your earwax?
No. Oh, this is one. Fear of public speaking. So in this quiz, it'd be like, do you have a fear of public speaking?
Yeah.
And I would be like, it's like, yes, no, maybe, or like other or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think I put like no or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have a 50-50 chance of having a fear of public speaking. Like, no, duh, because I told you.
Well, a 50-50 chance is literally like flip a coin.
Yeah. Or like this one, like hair thickness. It says, do you have normal, thin, full? Like, what is your hair? Less likely to have thick hair. Yeah, you're right. I have it's normal medium hair.
Yeah.
Because I told you that in the quiz.
Yeah.
And like for days I was getting these quizzes and I was just like, I'm going to stop taking them because I want to see what they say back to me. Mm-hmm. And the questions I do not answer do not show up in my profile.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fishy.
Yes. And some of these things I feel like are not correct. Like misophonia is like you get irritated when people are chewing.
Uh-huh.
And I hate it.
Yes.
But this is like less likely to hate chewing sounds. Yeah, okay. Lies, because I hate it.
Yeah.
Ice cream flavor preference. More likely to prefer chocolate over vanilla. Yeah, because I told you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, my beef is with all of this.
So what if you never took any of those quizzes?
What would it say?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think it would either make stuff up or it just wouldn't show you.
If I had money to burn, mm-hmm. I think it'd be funny to do that and just answer them all totally opposite of mm-hmm. yourself and see what you get.
Yeah. And then like maybe just send in like your dog's saliva and see what it says.
You think they could tell if it's human?
Listen, I found an account on here, like a personal account story. And yeah. She said she was doing a dog DNA testing,
uh-huh.
sent in her dog's like cheek swab or whatever. And it came back saying her dog's human.
What?
Like, so they really messed up.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So back to this, I guess you could say like, I was more interested, like I wanted to know my ancestry, but like the health part of it uh-huh. made it sound like it would tell you what kind of diet you should go on, what food works best with your body type of thing.
And okay.
What
foods yeah. to avoid. I would be interested to know that.
Right. That would make sense because at the time I just had a baby. I wanted to figure out what worked well for me mm-hmm. so I didn't like waste my time or whatever. And it didn't say any of that to me. I remember it saying you had to sign a form because if your results came back saying like you're prone to cancer.
Yeah.
And you signed the form saying, yes, I want to know my results. Then you can't go back and say like that you never knew about it. And
yeah.
like your insurance wouldn't cover it.
I found information about that too. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really strange because it's like almost like they're treating it as a pre-existing condition.
Right.
When it's like based on this genetic test that may not even be fully accurate.
Right.
And it's like a tendency towards it. It's not like you have cancer.
Yeah.
It's like, who doesn't have a tendency towards cancer these right. days? Like, everybody seems to get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that it was illegal to not disclose or to lie about health information to your insurance company.
Yes.
So you're kind of screwing yourself over a little bit, potentially.
Yeah. So I did not sign the waiver because I'm like, I don't want to know then if mm-hmm. it's going to like ruin my chances for healthcare in the future.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. Anyways, so some of the health things they talked about was like diabetes. This says like type 2 diabetes, increased likelihood.
Okay.
But I want to say like I have had family members who are diabetic. So I guess that makes sense
okay.
in my
yeah
blood. But like everything else is like celiac disease. I don't even know if I can pronounce half of these. Age-related macular degeneration, which is your eyesight.
Yeah.
And it said slightly increased risk. Really? Because I have glasses. Like, I know. Glasses and a prominent forehead.
That brow ridge is really...
It fits perfectly.
You got those glasses, like, just kind of resting up back against
yes,
that brow
like,
ridge.
But it's like a flush surface uh-huh. from my forehead to...
Well, your forehead's back a little bit, and then your brow
no.
ridge comes
oh,
out.
Oh, my brow ridge. I'm picturing it. Okay. Anyway, so it didn't really tell me much. I guess it might be helpful if... you know a lot of family members that have issues. But...
I could see where if you had no idea what your medical history was or your family's medical history, like if you were adopted Or if you didn't, you know, your one of your parents was out of the picture and you just had no idea, maybe that'd be something that you could bring some awareness to yourself about, okay, I'm going to cut back on sugar because I'm prone to diabetes. But it seems like it's kind of stuff that you might already kind of know if you're just semi-aware of yourself.
Yeah. And then I was really hoping for it to tell me more about like what foods work best with my body, but it didn't tell me any of that. Yeah. So that was kind of a bummer. Neanderthal variants, you have more than 35%.
Okay.
Like of my relatives, I'm related through this whole system. 35% of them share the same Neanderthal as I do.
Yeah. Okay. That just basically means you're of European ancestry because that's where they lived.
I'm 99.9% European.
What's the 0.1? Did they tell you?
It says unassigned.
Yeah. So uncertain.
Yep.
Does it break down like where in Europe?
Yeah. So I'm not going to give you all the numbers. I'll just read through here. So French and German, British and Irish, Scandinavian, broadly Northwestern European, Eastern European, Ashkenazi Jewish, and again, broadly European.
Yeah. And honestly, when I was looking up like YouTube videos and stuff about people who had taken DNA tests, most Caucasian people, white people, have like the same list, like French and German, British, some Scandinavian tucked in there, and then broadly Northwestern European.
Yeah.
So.
Like, thanks.
I mean, the percentages might change, but.
Yeah. I mean, to me, overall, sure, it was interesting to look at for a day or two. Mm-hmm. But other than that.
Would you recommend somebody paying $100?
No. Well, so, like, what 23andMe is doing now is like they're trying to connect you to relatives.
Okay.
So people that you share DNA with, it'll like I get notifications probably once a week saying I have like a new relative on 23andMe. So I'll like hop on and look. And there it's like a lot of like cousins. And then there was like one second cousin and he messaged me. He's like 60, lives in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my mom about it and she's like, oh, yeah, that's my cousin. And like, do you like talk to him? And she like kind of told a story about it or whatever. But I mean, neat. But I suppose if you are just like totally unsure of your family's history, like, sure, it'd be cool for you. But
you could potentially find like if for example, you were adopted, you could find relatives.
And see, that's like a huge thing that I'm seeing is like kind of iffy because it's like if I had a baby and I wanted to just like get rid of it, like someone adopt it anonymously, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
If that kid tries to find me or uses 23andMe,
because usually like that way. In the old days before all this, those documents were sealed essentially. Yeah. But now, and we'll get into that kind of later. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but just the chances that you could be traced are very high, even if you potentially don't even take a DNA test.
Yes.
But
we'll dive into
that in a little bit. But I just want to kind of talk about, so you get all these numbers. Mm-hmm. Are they accurate? What do these numbers mean? Does it mean that you're literally 52% British Isles or whatever it may be?
My 0.2% Jewish. I take it very seriously. But Jesse likes to joke. He's like, it's a sneeze. Someone Jewish just sneezed on one of your relatives and that's how you got the DNA. But I'm like, I really like the Jewish culture. So I'm taking it.
Well, that's kind of like, just because you have a certain DNA doesn't mean you can't identify with different things, you know?
Right. But then there's some people out there that are a little, like, they abuse it a little bit.
True.
Like, we had a coworker who did this, found out she had Native American in her.
Yeah.
And then...
didn't she apply for some type of...
yes.
...aid or something based on that?
And now she gets money from the state.
Yeah. That's...
so what do we say about that? It's like, go all your life not...
Well, think about it. If you were a Native American, like, and you grew up in that culture and everything, and there are prejudices and stuff that you overcome living that, and then she, who had no idea growing up in a very regular household, suddenly gets part of the money that maybe your people feel like they should get, you know, because you've actually lived that life.
Yeah. I think that's really unfair. Like, I don't think
just because you have some genes.
Yeah.
So there is a potential for some error. So computer is basically analyzing your data, mm-hmm. and there's about a million different things that it's looking at. And out of that million, there could be like 1,000 errors, which the ratio is sounds pretty good, but 1,000 errors still is a lot of errors. And how companies use the raw data really varies from place to place. So something that you might notice when you take a DNA test is that when you get your results, it might say something along the lines of it may change in the future. And that's because as their reference pool changes, mm-hmm. your results may change because they're comparing you to more people, getting a more accurate result. But still, like if you did it 2 years ago versus what it might be in the next 2 years, you may have a vastly different profile.
True.
So
yeah,
just because, so if you like went out and, you know, were really into whatever you had 2 years ago and then you find out that it's totally changed, you know, it's like, how is that possible?
Right.
So just the accuracy may not be permanent, I guess.
Yeah.
The reference populations are kind of an issue. So basically, these are people who are, quote, unquote, pretty confident in their genealogy and are self-reporting their ancestry.
Okay.
So you have to start somewhere because you don't have genetic profiles of people that lived hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the last 50 years, you don't have that.
Yeah.
So basically, people are saying, I'm pretty confident that my family has come down. These are the generations, my, you know, genetic family tree. So they take a test from that person and that's their reference for a person of that lineage.
Okay.
Now, what if that person has no idea that their mother had an affair?
Yeah.
What if that person has no idea that their grandparents, you know, adopted their, like, took in somebody, an orphan, or, you know, who yeah. knows? So it's just because they're fairly certain doesn't mean that that reference person is actually accurate.
Right.
And that becomes a problem, especially for any kind of minority. So a large portion of the references are European,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the people who have turned in their results are European. Mm-hmm. So they have a pretty good log of that. That's why they can be really down to like the countries when it comes to European descent. Mm-hmm. But if you are something else, for example, if you are of African descent, like mm-hmm. Sudanese, there was like basically until a year or two ago, they could only really have 3 regions in Africa that they could pinpoint you to because mm-hmm. there wasn't enough data there.
Yeah.
And so if you're kind of a group that's not really very well represented, for example, your Jewish one, mm-hmm. like how many people of that descent do you think really have taken this DNA test?
Yeah.
So that's probably a pretty small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be less accurate because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, if you have a small sample size, let's say that you are one of 100 people they're comparing you to in this sample size, and you happen to be lactose intolerant,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really a common thing amongst everybody from mm-hmm. that area. It's just you have it, but you are the sample.
Yeah.
So suddenly that becomes a marker for everybody that's getting tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so the results can just be really skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing with those references is that those are populations now,
mm-hmm.
not when your ancestors were alive.
Yeah, true.
So it's really going off of the current populations, and people move around, people migrate all the time. I mean, how do you know that who's living in England now is the same as 200 years ago, 300 right. years ago? So just a lot of questions about accuracy.
Yeah, and that makes total sense.
Yeah, and a lot of ethnicities have similar genetic markers. So just because you have red hair doesn't mean you're Scottish. There could be a person from France with red hair. There could be a person from Brazil with red hair, you mm-hmm. know? But they're going to match you with that Scottish one,
right.
probably on that trait, because that's the most common one. So it's really kind of
that makes
iffy.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. A really interesting thing that I read was we inherit, obviously, half of our DNA from my mom, half of it from our dad.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to have the DNA you're getting each generation back. You're getting, like, your dad only got half of his DNA from his dad and his mom. So you can go back 9 generations and assume that there's a lot of relatives you have zero DNA in common with.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 generations is only about 270 years. So we could have, we're going back to, like, 17 20s, I think, is what I calculated it to be with my calculator. So past that, it's really sketchy.
Yeah.
So to say that your relatives with somebody, I mean, your ethnicity, where your genes are coming from, it could be totally skewed because you may not even share DNA with people that are just as related to you as the people that are showing up in your genes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
See, and all of these things are making me like regret doing this because it's like, what's right here?
Yeah. And I could just go on and on, but it's like, what about your siblings? Like, what if your brother inherited more of the Scandinavian genes from your mom or dad than you did? Mm-hmm. Does that mean he's more Scandinavian than you? I mean, not really. I mean, you're both both on the same like family tree. So it's just, there's a lot of questions. So basically you shouldn't look at that and be like, this is absolutely my genetic makeup. Because a lot of people have like, you know, oh, I found out I'm 1% African.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, that marker could have been something that your ancestor randomly had some type of rare condition that usually is found in Africa, but it showed up in this population. Yeah. But they're just pulling that from that sample group.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
That's a lot to take in.
My brain is exploding from that, though.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get anything out of it. And like we said, if you are a person who is really into it, it can be cool. And you can find long-lost relatives. And I know we have a former coworker who met a half-sister through one of these. And they have been... I mean, they visit each other and their kids are getting to know each other and it's really cool.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you find out something like your dad's not your dad or,
it could be probably a big shock.
It could be family wrecking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just be prepared for things like that to happen potentially. If
23 and Me should change their slogan to like the home wrecker kit. Wrecker.
Like, you want to test how much your family can really go through.
Like, their commercial shouldn't be wholesome. It should just be some guy in a trench coat in the back alley and be like, hey.
Yeah. You ready? Or, like, the milkman showing up at the door.
Yes. And then he, like, turns and winks an eye and is like, the home wrecker kit. $99 today.
Oh, that's funny. All right. We will be right back. Issue nowadays is your personal information and the safety of your privacy, like with Facebook and data breaches. I mean, that it's just hard to feel safe. And then here we go as a society throwing our DNA into a database.
Take my money, take it.
Yeah, take my money, take my genes, take
Tell
everything.
Tell me where I'm from. I'm dying to know.
Confirm that I am half Irish, like I always thought I was.
I really want to know if I have Native American in me so I can get money.
Yeah.
All right. So no, your privacy is not safe if you take one of these
things. Big surprise.
Wow, shocker. So 23andMe received $300 million from GlaxoSmithKline in a deal that will give the pharmaceutical... it's like 8:30 at night. Well, I'm saying that like it's late.
It's like 8:30 p.m., guys. Give her a break.
We'll just say like big pharma giant access to the data for all of 23andMe's DNA kits.
Yeah.
So these guys, you would definitely recognize their logo because I looked them up. They're a British multinational pharmaceutical company. Wow. Okay.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes. Pharmaceutical company. If you look them up, their logo is like GSK. It's like you see it on...
I feel like Yeah.
You see it in, like, medicine boxes and
it's
stuff.
It's like one of those Black Mirror. Have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Yes.
It's like one of those things that you like, see in the background of the episode and, like, buses or, like, and then at the end you find out that they were behind it the whole time or whatever. Some sneaky pharmaceutical company.
Mm-hmm. That's GlaxoSmithKline. So they have access to all your 23andMe data, including mine. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So law enforcement is also able to gain access to your DNA. They would have to get a warrant for it, but they can get it.
But I don't feel like they always, that they have been getting warrants.
No, because I know the FBI has total access to all the data.
Okay.
But law enforcement, like
the examples that I found, it seemed that they had not gotten a warrant. Maybe they, the way I took it was they had found their suspect and then maybe got a warrant based on that information.
So I know Ancestry, anyone can have that. Like, law enforcement does not need a warrant for it.
Okay.
But 23andMe.
And I found Family Tree or something is also one that just kind of works. They've stated that they will work with law enforcement.
Yes, I have that written down. Yes. That's what I have for that. Yeah. That you're just, like, not safe.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, a big thing that came out recently was that they actually caught the Golden State Killer after 40 years of cold case.
Yo.
And the way they did that was they, so when you get your DNA test back, I think you can request or you can get, like, the raw data that you can then upload into other databases.
Okay.
And that's kind of how people find relatives, is because people upload it to these databases and then get matches, I guess. That's my understanding of it. So there was one called GED Match.
Okay.
And law enforcement took DNA, like, they had the DNA profile from the Golden State Killer crime scene.
Yeah.
And uploaded it just on an account on GED Match as if they were looking for a long lost relative, and found third cousins that matched the profile. And through that, like, process of elimination, they knew the general age the person would have to be for that time period.
Mm-hmm.
They came up with their suspect and caught the guy, which, I mean, it's cool, I guess, that after all these years, we can bring, you know, justice to that case. I mean, he murdered multiple people.
Yeah.
And there's been actually, they said that they're working on, like, 200 cases right now. And 100 of those, like, half of them have workable leads. So it's kind of getting to be a really big deal that they're using this DNA that, you know, the person hasn't given them willingly, but they're using somebody else's DNA to catch the criminal. But what if they can do that for a criminal, they could pretty much do that to anybody. So that's kind of where it gets a little bit, like, big brother-y. I think all they need is, like, a couple third cousins or closer on their database, and they can pretty much identify anybody of European descent. I think it's a little bit harder for minorities, but as more people take these tests, the easier it's going to be.
Yep.
And you might be thinking to yourself, who cares? They're criminals. They deserve it. They got away.
Yeah.
But what if it wasn't law enforcement that was doing this?
Ooh.
What if it was just somebody who found some DNA? Like, they had your DNA in some way, and they were going to identify you. I mean, I wondered if this was possible. So I just typed into Google, like, DNA testing from hair follicle. And I found a website that will do it for $80, which is cheaper than these Ancestry.com. And they will give you, like, the genetic profile. And then all you would have to do is upload that into one of these databases and wait for long-lost relatives to show up. And then you could kind of deduce whoever, you know. So you could, I mean, you could find it from, you can find DNA anywhere.
Yeah, that's super slimy.
Like a bathroom is probably full of it. Like,
yeah.
So it's not just criminals, and it could be used for other things. I mean, we live in a free country now, but what if in 100 years, 50 years, next year, it becomes quite more authoritarian and the government starts to use that data for other things. Just something to think about. I think I mentioned that movie Gattaca in another episode.
Yeah.
And that is like, so this topic is basically like, that's the horror story.
Yeah.
Because they are taking people's DNA and taking their traits and deciding before they even grow up, like while they're babies, what they're going to be good at, what kind of jobs they should have. I think they give you the choice to like terminate, you know, if it's not like what you want in a kid.
Oh, wow.
They do designer babies. So, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of things you can do that is kind of, you know, a little dystopian.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And scummy. What if you are, like you mentioned, like, what if you did give up a baby for adoption and you go on and you have, you know, your normal life, you have another family.
Yeah.
And then one day this, I don't know, perhaps traumatizing experience you had as a 16-year-old. Maybe you were raped. I don't know.
Yeah.
Walks in, maybe not literally walks in your door, but messages you, emails you, and is like, you're my mom?
Yeah.
Whoa. Is that fair? Should you have to be submitted to that? Because even if you didn't put your DNA out and your sister did or your cousin did.
I mean, that's a lot. That's so crazy. I mean, you can really, you can just go crazy with it. Like when you're telling me like anyone can take your DNA and just like find you
or
figure you out. I'm thinking of the show You on Netflix. You watched it?
I've watched some of it.
What if like not a serial killer necessarily, but like a stalker at least, like passes by you, wants to meet you really badly and like figure you out and like grabs a hair from your shirt and like just
Heebie-jeebies. Yeah, they could potentially like look up your family members and all kinds of stuff. So
this is why DNA is like, these kits are kind of on a downward climb, I guess. Like they're just going downhill now. Like they've gone down quite significantly since 2017. Like 23andMe, they laid off like 14% of their staff.
Jeez.
Yeah. And Ancestry laid off 6%. Illumina, which is the place that makes these sequencing machines, they even like said that they're in like a lull period of making these machines. OraSure, it's the tubes that you spit into.
Okay.
They said that their stock market dropped significantly as well.
Yikes.
So, I mean,
so why? Why is it declining, do you think?
I think it's because of all those reasons you said. Like, people can, like, find you. They can take your information. They can sell it to GSK, I guess. Yeah. And, like, I think the creepy thing about it all is, like, 23andMe can sell your DNA to advertising companies. These companies will use your information to directly advertise to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the creepy thing of it all.
Yeah, it's, like, not enough anymore that you mention you're feeling like buying a new dress and suddenly Facebook is advertising dresses to you.
Yeah.
Now they're also going to know that you might potentially be having to change your diet or take high cholesterol medication or something like that. And they're basically, what piece of information do they not have?
Right.
Like Google has everything you've ever searched on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube is owned by Google. They have everything that you've ever watched.
Yeah.
You know, credit card information, names, like, and now they have your literal DNA.
Yeah.
So,
like, that's just another reason why I'm, like, regretting sending that in. Because it's like, yeah, they have everything else of me. Like, this could be just me. But who's to say, like you said, in the future, that they can't just, like, force you to get your DNA? What if there's, like, a law passed and they're like, everyone needs to submit their DNA into the system?
They're indexing us.
Yeah. Freaking just put a microchip in me and like follow me. Like,
actually,
your phone is like a microchip. Basically, this is how they track you.
So you say that like it's far off, but I saw a story in China where that is kind of happening. So obviously, China is a little bit more authoritarian than us over here. So they basically were calling it free health screenings, free physicals, but they were DNA swabbing people that came in for that, and forcing people to come in to do that. Basically, what it is for, there's a group of Muslim ethnicity people in China that basically they're worried about unrest.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're not linked to actual people who have done anything, they are wanting to get genetic profiles of everybody so that they can pinpoint who is part of this group of people. Yeah. Not group of people. Who's like, you know, has that those genes.
Yeah.
Group of people sounds like it's an organization, but it's literally just like, oh, you're Irish, so you're going, you have, maybe you're gonna rise up against us, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they basically took DNA swabbing, they scanned their faces, and basically set up a surveillance system so that they can watch at any time people that are of that certain ethnicity. And it's basically an extreme case of like ethnic profiling.
Yeah.
That is, I think, a giant invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And
I did see videos of people in China like taking down cameras in the street, like tearing them down.
Yeah. That could be linked with this.
Possibly.
And they've detained a bunch of people of that ethnic group in like up to 1 million people in China in re-education camps.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't say the word or I would. It's like Uyghurs. It's U-I-G-H-U-R-S is okay. The ethnic group. But but yeah, so I mean, we say it like, oh, that's, you know, so far in the future, the dystopian future, Hunger Games type of stuff. But it's actually starting to happen.
In China.
Yeah, in China right now. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
See, that's like crazy. But I mean, it's so realistic though. Yeah. Oh, jeepers. All right. Well, so like, will DNA kits, like, will they fall eventually? Like, will people just stop using them?
I think that they are planning on just marketing the hell out of them.
Yup. Like, they're trying to spin things now. Like, 23andMe is saying, like, we need all the DNA so we can find new successful, like, medicines for people. That's what they're spinning it as. They also are saying, like, wouldn't you want to know if you have a risk for, like, diabetes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another thing. They're saying, like, it's for education purposes. Like, we're going to use what we have for our data and we're going to train doctors with it. Okay.
Yeah.
And now they're saying they're focusing more on detailed sequencing so they can release like a new test. So like, I've already done it. So they'll like market a new one to me and be like, hey, find more out about yourself. Yeah. Find out the exact town that your ancestors were
in. If you think about it, like, the people who wanted to take it are probably have taken it. So they've got to do new things.
Yeah.
I saw that they've been really pushing out to like YouTubers and influencers.
Dude.
Like giving them free kits so that they will share their results.
And make it look so cool. Yeah.
And, you know, get more people to be interested.
Can I just say, all these YouTubers that are getting it are white.
Uh-huh.
All the results are the same.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing new. It's nothing interesting. I don't care where this makeup YouTuber girl, I don't care where you're from.
Yeah.
Show me how to do a successful smoky eye.
Yeah, please help me with my wing game because it needs some help.
That's what I care about. I don't care if you're Canadian. Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, and I even saw that 23andMe is partnering with like Airbnb to make heritage vacations.
What?
Yeah, they're partnering with them to help you plan a vacation to your ancestors' homeland, I guess.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, like, I would want to do that anyways. I don't think I need 23andMe to tell me.
Yeah, and I would probably want to plan it on my own because, I don't know, I just feel like anytime you go on, like, a pre-scheduled thing, you never get to do what you want.
Right.
But
there's actually a town in Germany with my last name.
Mm.
And I think it'd be so cool to show up and be like, what's up, bitches?
Yeah.
Queen of this town. I wonder if they would like praise me.
I wonder if there's like 80 other people with your last name in that town.
Probably. It's, like the way I envision it, this is so dumb.
No, but tell
us. Like a town that's very, like, medieval times.
Okay.
Like, people don't have technology in this
town. They're wearing,
town.
Like, lederhosen.
Yes, yes. And they have, like, a town well that everyone hangs out at. And, like, everyone's just, like, walking around with sheeps on ropes.
Oh,
and
geez.
And then I show up in town in, like, a car. And they're like, whoa, who's this? And I'm like, this is my last name. This is basically my birthright to be here. And this is my town now. And they're like, whoa. All hail the queen! And they're not even British. They're German. I can't do a German accent.
I hope that we can make that dream come true for you someday.
Dude, wouldn't that be so crazy? And I would just stay in like the castle that happens to be there.
Well, every fiefdom has to have a castle, right? Like,
This is a fantasy of mine, apparently.
Yeah. So there are some people who do like these DNA tests. Mm-hmm. And what they like about them is that it is basically lending credibility to their racial claims.
Ugh. Okay.
So, yeah. Some groups that may be, you know, into that mm-hmm. are, you know, our good friends, the neo-Nazis. Mm-hmm. Not friends. That was a bad choice of
words. Bad choice of words. Those crazy enemies. People over there. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll take a test just to prove to their peers, I guess, that they are purebred Aryan race. You know, they don't have any of those mix-ins.
How? Like, in today's age, like, how are you not mixed with, like, 7 different cultures?
Right? And like we were saying, like, it's very likely that that's not that accurate.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance they're going to have something in there that they're not going to want to see.
Like, for me, we're in the Midwest and I have Jewish in me. Like, yeah. Like you said, it's probably inaccurate or it's a mix up or.
Yeah. But like, if you were a neo-Nazi, you'd be thrown out of the group, Rachel.
Yeah. I'd be in a downward spiral.
They might be after you.
Yeah.
So,
like, that's just so dumb to me. Like, how? Yeah. Okay.
Not only that, but this is me climbing up on a podium. Race is not real. Race,
dude,
is a construction of society. Yes. There is no scientific proof for race.
Yeah. It literally matters where you are on the globe.
Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, obviously we have different phenotype, which is like the traits you can see.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, there is more variation within a racial group mm-hmm. than there is between racial groups. So let's say, you know, for Caucasian people, mm-hmm. there are more likely to be different eye colors and different heights and different skull sizes, everything within yeah. white people yeah. than there is if you take the group of white people as a whole and compare them to Chinese people. They're going to be more similar as a group yeah. than the individuals within the group. So it's just really stupid to me to yeah. be so caught up in an idea that we are different on a genetic level, that there yeah. it's like to justify prejudices and stuff mm-hmm. on a genetic level is just very stupid.
Yes.
So I just, yeah.
And I 100% agree like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like a slippery slope. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, okay, so this genetic marker for eye shape, well, there's a lot of different variations between that. Where do we stop and say that's an Asian eye shape versus that's a white person's eye shape, that's a Russian person's, like mm-hmm. Russia is in Asia, like, you know, it's just mm-hmm. so weird to me that people get so caught up on like trying to put people in boxes yeah. when we are all fundamentally the same. We have the same potential. Mm-hmm. I really believe that we are all, I don't know, we should all be equal. There yes. is no one person or group of people that is better than anybody else on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do with your life and
totally agree.
Yeah, how you treat people. And that's yeah. what makes you a better person.
Yes.
So
yes.
it just makes me heated.
Yeah.
Makes me so heated.
You couldn't have said it any better. That is perfect. And I totally
so,
agree.
Yeah.
Well, so why shouldn't people do it? Like, why are people still doing it?
Why are people still doing it? I think curiosity, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I think only companies are profiting from your DNA. So mm-hmm. why even bother giving it to them anymore?
Yeah, I think that's their end game is marketing. Like, they're mm-hmm. going to sell your information to people. That's where the big money is. Mm-hmm. It's not in these people buying these little kits. It's selling your data to pharmaceutical companies yeah. for $300 million.
And did you know, like, these companies, like, they can change their policies at any time?
Yeah.
Literally, you get an email that says something very vague, like, check out your new ancestry or check out your new health report or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you have to sign in. And before you sign in, you have to, like, read this thing, check it, check the box, say that you read it and agree or
and
whatever.
And do you read it, Rachel?
No. Does anyone read it?
No.
So that's you just saying, like, oh, I have to check this box before I can check out what my new report is.
Yeah. And it's probably a new, like, user agreement that says yes. they can give your information to yes. another mm-hmm. company. Just add that one on the pile of places yep. that has your genetic makeup now.
Yep.
I also saw that so a lot of places do give you the option to like opt in or opt out of sharing your information for medical research or pharmaceutical companies or whatever, mm-hmm. but there's nothing regulating that.
No, like how could you monitor that?
Yeah, it's anyway? Just, there's no really laws because it is kind of a new thing. So mm-hmm. there's no laws in place yet. So those are just kind of things to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside. Not mm-hmm. really that they have to abide by that. And if you say, click on that and a year down the road, you want to stop sharing, well, your information's already out there. You can't get it back.
Yeah.
All that prevents them from doing is sharing it further, potentially mm-hmm. prevents them. Like, we don't even know if it really prevents them.
Yeah.
And there are some companies that say they'll honor your request to destroy your sample. How do they prove that they destroyed your sample? They literally have your DNA
yeah.
in a fridge.
Yeah.
If you die, they still have your DNA yeah. beyond your death.
Yeah. Tell me about immorality.
Immortality. Immorality. Well, Rachel.
Molly, it's almost 9 now, okay?
Yeah, no, but cloning?
Yeah.
They could clone you.
Anytime.
I don't really know why they'd want to clone you. Somebody said, like, a servant army. Oh. Not you.
Not me personally.
Me, then. I don't know why they'd want to clone me. But yeah, it's like, why would they want to clone you? I don't really know. But somebody was like, well, if they're going to make us a mindless servant army, I guess we're talking Star Wars here. If they're going to make a clone army,
okay.
it'd be easier to do that than to breed a bunch of children naturally.
Okay.
Okay. So they could clone you, or they could use your genetic makeup to do age reversal and then try to sell it back to you when you're yeah. old, marketing immortality to you.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah. I guess if that happens, I have my DNA already submitted.
Yeah. Do you want immortality? Would you choose to live forever if you could?
Good question.
I don't think I would.
No?
I don't know.
I would want to... I think it'd be interesting to see grandchildren or like great-great-great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. But maybe I wouldn't like them very much. Maybe they'll be just a bunch of futuristic jerks. Yeah. Like, who knows?
Millennials.
So are you.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, would my like great-great-great-grandfather... Like, if he could be, like, listening to this podcast right now, would he be, like,
interested? Whippersnappers, impertinent children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's a good question. It'd be interesting to see the technologies change. Yeah.
I think it would be highly dependent for me on what, like, is everybody around me dying?
Yeah.
Or am I the only one that's living forever? Or are we all, like, just enjoying more time together?
Listen, talking about all of that, Age of Adeline. Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's so good.
Okay.
Blake Lively. Just watched it at a hotel this weekend.
Okay.
I've seen it so much. It's like one of those movies, like, if it's on, yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. She basically gets in a car accident in, like, 30s, mm-hmm. 40s.
Okay.
And her body goes, like, there's, like, the beginning is, like, a whole scientific voiceover, like, explaining why she's not aging. And it's very interesting. Because they make it sound, like, legitimate, but it's...
Yeah.
Like, she's in a river, and lightning strikes in her, which causes her molecular cells to pause, basically.
Okay.
And so she doesn't age.
Gotcha. Huh.
And she's around for years and years and years. And then the government tries to come after her and she escapes and she keeps changing her identity.
When I saw the previews for that, I assumed it was just some like romantic Nicholas Sparks movie.
It's a little romantic, but it's very good.
Which I'm okay with a little romance. I'm not into
Harrison Ford is in it.
Okay. I'm not into like cheesy movies, but a little romance is okay. We have one thing left to do though, Rachel, before we end. Okay. We got to announce our winner.
Okay,
so we have a winner to our awesome giveaway.
Yes, and we will be in contact with this winner.
Yes.
Because, no, we didn't just order a random t-shirt size.
We are going to make sure
wear it.
Yeah, we're going to make sure it fits you. We're not just going to...
And we're going to probably order some for ourselves, too.
Yes, I do want one.
I want one, too.
I'm going to wear it around town. People are going to be like, what's that?
What is that?
Mm-hmm. Listen, I really want to hang up posters or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's become the talk of the town.
Literally, that mouth.
Oh, okay. So I feel like we need a drum roll or something.
You'll add it in.
Yeah, we'll add a drum roll in. Okay, so the winner of the Exposé Podcast merch package is Naila Dawkins! We will be contacting you to get your info, and I hope you're excited because we are so excited.
Oh, hell yeah. You get it, girl.
Congratulations. We will see you next week, and
with a great new topic.
Yes.
As always.
Until then.
Okay, bye.
Bye.